think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The talk of nuclear weapons. Japan is deeply concerned, says the chief cabinet secretary. Deeply concerned about the possibility of nuclear weapons used during Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I add this to comments by the National Security Advisor in Washington, Mr. Sullivan, that a response to the use of a tactical nuclear weapon by Russia would be catastrophic. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, and we're joined by our colleague, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Peter Husey. Peter, you are very well informed of the history of tactical nukes going back into the Cold War. What is new here about Vladimir Putin suggesting, about Sergei Lavrov echoing, and about Mr. Sullivan and the chief cabinet secretary in Japan responding? What is new, or is there anything new? Have we been through this fear before? Good evening to you, Peter.
And good evening, and thank you, John, and thank you, Gordon. What's new is in 1999, in April, Mr. Yeltsin said, develop low-yield nuclear weapons with very little radiation, highly accurate, so that we can use them in a political and diplomatic strategy, meaning they'd be useful, they're a lever, and that we could actually use them. And Mr. Putin, when he became president of Russia, decided, yeah, we're going to implement the very plans that Mr. Yeltsin laid out, and they have. They have thousands of these type of weapons, which they have always had a lot, but these are, we could call them battlefield nuclear weapons. Are they messy, ugly? Yeah, sure. But they're usable in the view of Mr. Putin, and that is what's the change. That's the danger. The second danger is Lavrov said, well, we're going to have these referendum, and these people are going to say they want to live in Russia. All of a sudden, they've transformed Ukrainian territory into Russian territory, and under their doctrine, which they've long held, is any attack on Russian territory, which actually is Ukrainian territory, will allow Russia to use nuclear weapons in response to keep any forces out and to stop. That's what got people's attention. Right. Those two developments, one longstanding, which we kind of forgot about and didn't talk about. And this one, when Lavrov said, oh, that territory is now Russian territory, that's what got people's attention. Now, this whole strategy of Mr. Putin is called escalate to win, meaning if he's in danger of losing a conventional fight, he will threaten to go nuclear in order to get us to stand down. That's what's called escalate to win. And we announced this, seven years ago, our military said, we got to watch this. And it's now coming to fruition.
Gordon, you have a question for Peter.
Peter, as we just heard, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, warned of catastrophic consequences should Russia use nuclear weapons. Do we have a credible threat to stop Putin from actually using those devices?
Well, John, you have a couple questions. Gordon, you have a couple questions you have to answer. What target are you going to hit that is going to be sufficiently serious that Mr. Putin says, ooh, I don't think I want to go there? The idea of taking out their tactical nuclear weapons, so many of their systems are dual use. They're conventional in name, but they actually could be used for nuclear purposes. You're talking about thousands of targets. There's no way we can take them out. So secondly, do you have conventional take capability like a ground launch cruise missile, a GLICM, or a joint air-to-surface standoff missile like a JASSM, which my friend Matthew Kronig recently that the Atlantic Council has talked about possibly using, our response would have to be conventional, because the only theater nuclear weapons we have are gravity bombs on fighter planes based in Europe, like in England. You have to go through contested airspace. You may have to fight Russian fighter planes, if it's unclear, and air defenses. And I don't know what you drop them on, okay? Because you'd be dropping them probably on Ukraine territory, which I don't think we want to do. And so we're kind of stuck with conventional, and we have very good conventional capabilities, but the Russians have so many tactical nuclear options in terms of numbers. I don't know how we would figure out which they're going to use or when or against what target. So I understand what Mr. Sullivan is saying, and I sympathize. I think a generalized threat of don't do this, this is deadly serious, is the way to go. Because if you specifically say we're going to use nuclear weapons, boy, you're putting yourself in a cul-de-sac where if the Russians do something, then the people are going to say, okay, you threaten to use nukes. Are you willing to risk going up the escalation ladder and going to what people call the Armageddon option, which is we're all dead? And I don't know. We don't have anything between these 200 gravity bombs we have in Europe and our ICBMs and SLBMs based here in the United States. So it does put us, there's a gap there. And as a lot of nuclear analysts have pointed out, that's the gap Mr. Putin tends to exacerbate and to use for leverage for his own objectives.
Peter, quickly, in 1962, Cuban Missile Crisis, yes. We know now that the Russian military on Cuba deployed tactical nuclear weapons. I believe they were called Frogs, right above Guantanamo base.
Yes.
And they didn't use them. We didn't know this for many decades, until it was finally characterized as, of course. Now I'm told we will watch where tactical nuclear weapons are deployed and we'll have a heads up. Is that accurate, Peter?
Well, it's very difficult to know where these things are because it's very difficult to have any transparency, particularly when the country involved, Russia, isn't exactly telling you where to go. The Cuban Missile Crisis, which I just recently wrote about, we ended that peacefully, thank God, because we had a 70-1 advantage over the Russians in terms of the weapons we could get to Russia versus those they could get to us. And in particular, the day we announced the Cuban missiles, the missiles from Russia in Cuba, October 14th, was the very day that our ICBM Minuteman, brand new, went on alert here in the United States. So John F. Kennedy said later at a meeting in Lawrence Livermore that had helped develop these weapons, he said that was, Minuteman was my ace in the hole. We had way, way more than the Russians, and we had the leverage of being able to take them out, because their weapons were very inaccurate and Minuteman was totally safe, even though it was in silos. We do not have that balance today, John. And therefore, what you're pointing out is very relevant. Dr. Kissinger once said, what the heck do you do with nuclear superiority if you have it? Well, there's your answer. You end a conflict or a crisis without anybody shooting each other, thank God, in 1962. And we did the same thing with respect to Berlin the year before. And that is because we had overwhelming advantages in the nuclear, not conventionally, but nuclear. So I think that's the lesson is you don't go to sleep and let your systems diminish and become atrophy and rust obsolescence, as someone said, without real consequences.
Gordon, in just a minute.
Peter, you talked about how the United States had nuclear superiority. Now, don't we have inferiority, because even though we have parity with Russia under New START, at least theoretically, the Chinese are there and they are building missile silos very fast.
About a minute, Peter.
Well, here's the deal. We have 200 deployed tactical nuclear weapons and we have another 300 in storage here in the United States. The Russians have somewhere between 2 and 5,000. You pick the number. That's theater. With respect to New START, yeah, we have 1550, and Russia supposedly has 1550, but they have three or four systems they're building that aren't even covered by New START, and their strategic weapons, plus their ability to build up or break out is vastly in excess of what we have. So I would say that the Russians have strategic nuclear and theater nuclear superiority over the United States. How bad that is, I don't know. We have a very strong deterrent, but it is, and we're moving in the right direction, we're modernizing, but so is Russia. And then you add China into the mix, and boy, you're talking about China potentially having thousands of additional nuclear weapons, and that's not good either.
Peter Husey, Senior Fellow, the Hudson Institute, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.